Good morning. This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, January 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. Recreational pot sales won't be coming to Mountain Village for the time being. That's after the town council there voted down an ordinance that wouldn't allow retail marijuana stores to open. The Watch newspaper reports that the ordinance was voted down at the meeting last week, but the council still has to decide whether to extend its current moratorium on pot sales or to specifically and permanently ban the industry. If the council doesn't take any action on the issue, the stores will be allowed to open under state law. According to The Watch, the vote was split 4-3, with Mayor Dan Jansen and three councilors voting against allowing the shops in town, and three other councilors voting for. Councilor member Jonette Bronson had originally favored allowing the shops, but reportedly changed her mind after hearing the results of a survey from the Telluride Mountain Village Owners Association. Two-thirds of that association's members voted against retail marijuana sales, and only one-third voted for. Some of the members of that group are second homeowners who say they're worried about the possibility of public marijuana use becoming acceptable, even though that's illegal under state law. One homeowner who vacations in the town from Florida said his family was considering spending their vacations somewhere else if pot sales are allowed in town. Oil and gas issues can get heated under the Gold Dome and are often some of the most controversial bills introduced during the annual legislative session. But as Benta Berkland reports, that may not be the case this year.
Lawmakers from both parties say they don't plan to propose any major policy changes or touch on divisive topics such as drilling setback distances from homes and schools. But Democratic House Majority Leader Dickie Lee Hollinghorst of Niwot says her party is considering a measure to better define how cities and counties regulate drilling.
I don't think there's any question that local governments have land use control relative to oil and gas operations, but I think there needs to be clarification what the relationship is between the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and local governments.
Republicans have by and large been happy with the current regulatory structure, and so far, many of the oil and gas changes have come from outside the Capitol. Last November, voters in several Front Range communities voted to ban or pass moratoriums on fracking. And a proposed statewide ballot question was filed this week that would let cities and counties block any business in their community that could harm health, safety, or welfare. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife manages a herd of about 70 bighorn sheep above Basalt, and in early January, state wildlife officials moved some to Grand County. KDNK's Amy Hayden Marsh was there for the move and brings us this report.
Well, good morning. Thanks for showing up and helping out.
On a frosty morning just after the new year, over 50 Colorado Parks and Wildlife staff and volunteers dressed in Carhartts and snow boots stand stomping their feet for warmth and drinking hot coffee in a small parking lot at the base of Toner Canyon, just outside the town of Basalt. Temperatures were below zero the previous night, and even though the sun is up, it won't top the steep canyon walls for another 3 hours.
We're going up, we're going to be... Trapping some of the sheep out of the basalt herd here on the premise that back in 2009...
The group is here to trap bighorn sheep and move them to Gore Canyon near Kremling, about a two-hour drive north.
From that area. We put sheep over there. They're doing well.
Matt Yamashita, project leader, says CPW has managed the Toner Canyon herd since the 1970s and uses it as a source herd for other areas.
A source herd is just a healthy herd that has good genetics, has very few disease issues that we can take animals from and use them to either transplant into places in the state that have appropriate habitat but no sheep, where sheep have either been extirpated, or if we have new areas that are being groomed for sheep habitat, we can put sheep back in there and just start out completely new populations. The other thing we use source herds for is if we have other sheep herds that are not doing well, we'll supplement those herds by taking sheep out of these healthy populations and putting them in there.
Gore Canyon is historic bighorn sheep habitat, but because of ranching and livestock interaction, the native sheep died out. But, says Yamashita, that's no longer a problem.
Those issues have kind of, they've been eliminated just by virtue of some of the old farmers and ranchers that were in that area no longer are using the same area, so it kind of opens it up.
CPW started using Toner Canyon sheep to restore the Gore Canyon herd in 2009.
And we've been monitoring him. We've been looking at their survival.
CPW's Kirk Oldham is in charge of the Gore Canyon end of the project.
For the last 3 years, we've had really good, very good lamb production, very limited predation. We haven't had any road kills on these sheep. These sheep are doing just fabulously.
Oldham says the herd size is now at 30 head.
With this transplant, it's entirely possible that, you know, that a year from now we'll have 50, 60 sheep in this herd. So, you know, really excited about that prospect.
The Toner Canyon trap site is next to a barn at the Basalt Mountain State Wildlife Area. A large, lightweight net is set up above a mix of hay, protein pellets, and apples that are used to lure in the sheep. CPW has been feeding the sheep here for most of the winter to acclimate them to humans. Wildlife officials, volunteers, and veterinarians wait quietly inside the barn until the sheep come down the steep, snowy mountainside for food.
Oh, right up on the ridge, along the edge, underneath the trees. I saw four there.
David Brown is a volunteer who has hunted bighorn sheep here for 35 years.
I think they're a pretty neat animal, a state animal. So,
what's neat about them?
Oh, just they're so majestic. They're smart and very challenging to hunt.
Why?
Their eyesight, for one thing, and the terrain that they inhabit. A lot of times it's very difficult.
Sort of like right up there.
Yeah, right up there. That's
which
an example.
Is it's steep redstone cliffs and
snow-covered ice. And, yeah. Dangerous.
Brown has helped trap sheep for 25 years. He says it's done in the winter.
Because there's no way to bait them in the summertime. They range way up high, and they're not interested in the little bit of food that they provide. In the wintertime, though, they'll come down for it. So,
once the sheep are in place, the capture net is triggered electronically. Immediately, everyone in the barn rushes out to untangle the sheep. The animals are prone, and each one is closely surrounded, almost hugged by three or four people as the net is gently removed.
A moving bag of 30-pound potatoes.
The sheep are rolled onto their stomachs to protect their lungs. They're blindfolded, and their heads are cradled to reduce stress. Veterinarians monitor vitals, deworm the animals, take blood samples, and administer a sedative for the ride ahead. 12 sheep were captured at Toner Canyon. Matt Yamashita is pleased with the outcome, especially since this was his first time as project leader. Matt believes restoring bighorn sheep to historic habitat helps balance human encroachment and the needs of wildlife.
And it's not necessarily undoing what Mother Nature's doing, it's just helping decrease the damage that people can potentially have to some of these wild herds.
That was KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh. Crews have continued working this week to stabilize boulders and cliffs south of Ouray, where recent rock slides closed off Red Mountain Pass, 2 miles south of the town. A helicopter was on the scene this week, airlifting safety supplies and cable wire netting to technical climbers working to stabilize the rocks. Some 30-pound bombs were also dropped to help bring down some unstable rock. The Colorado Department of Transportation says it's been tough and sometimes dangerous work. Crews have reportedly woken up each morning to find new slides that appeared to fall at high speeds onto the roadway from about 1,000 feet up. Climbers have been setting anchors that will help secure about 40,000 square feet of wire netting over the slide areas. CDOT says crews could start getting those nets in place by tomorrow afternoon and that the work should continue through Sunday. There's still no word on when the road could reopen, but that could come early next week. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.